Kultura koktajlowa.
Koktajlna
kultura.
Koktajlna kultura.
Koktajl kultur.
Wissen Berliner Bars. Destilliert von Spirits Volley und Artisan Barcamp.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It is another episode in English, and this time today we meet with Matt Boswell from Tiger Bar in Schönberg. This is our first time ever in Schönberg, actually. Enjoy.
Hello, so thank you very much for finding the time to welcome us to your Tiger Bar. And I think I'm gonna start straight with one question about who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much for having me. My name's Matt Boswell, and I am the bar manager here at Tiger Bar and Restaurant Panama. I've been in Berlin for about 5 years now, and prior to moving here, I hadn't worked in the bar industry before, but I got a job as a bar back at Soho House. Worked my way up to head bartender in that position for about a year before leaving, going to Mexico to learn a little bit more about mezcal, and then returned to Berlin to try and get more into the bar industry here. Did a short stint at Big Sur restaurant and bar that's now closed before moving over here, and I've been in Tiger Bar for about 2 years now.
And where are you from?
I'm from Perth, West Australia. Yep.
And now you told us about yourself. Tell us a bit about where we are now, the Tiger Bar. So you said that started 3 years ago,
yes,
more or less. And you also said that's in the restaurant Panama, mm-hmm, but we're actually not completely in the restaurant. There is also a bar in the restaurant.
Yep.
But I think you have your Willy personality that is different from the one of Panama, at least how I say it.
I mean, I'm quite lucky as a bar manager where they're two very different bars with very different drinks concepts. The restaurant has very much a focus on food pairing, quite lighter, more fun, more playful cocktails that, you know, are not going to completely knock you over during the course of a dinner. So it's a very different approach. And whereas what we do in the Tiger Bar is a little bit more of an actual cocktail bar focus, where we want people to be able to come in, relax, enjoy the setting. You know, there's a lot of attention to detail into the actual atmosphere of this place. So yeah, we, you know, try and make everybody as comfortable as possible and make some good drinks to go with it.
But you said about food pairing, does that mean that it's a different type of food pairing that you're not part of to decide where we go, like which cocktail we go with the food? Is that two different teams, or are you discussing?
No, we discuss everything. We've worked with us really closely with our chef's team and the sommelier team, and come together with everything. And that not only applies really in the restaurant, but also in Tiger Bar. We have snacks that come directly from the kitchen over in Panama, and we're able to, you know, pair everything that we have. We've got a fantastic wine list over there. We serve wine here also, but we don't just rely on that. We really make an effort to have our cocktails to be able to, you know, be enjoyed with all of the food that we make, because it's pretty fantastic.
The food and the cocktail.
Yeah.
What about the cocktail? How would you say, if you have like three words at your disposal, how would you define the type of cocktail you're doing here?
In Tiger Bar, I'd say modern, refined, unique.
Wow, that's a program. How would you define refined? What kind of intention that is behind that?
Well,
pushed you to use that word?
Well, basically, I'll give a little bit of background on Tiger Bar. When it was first started, the concept was a little bit different from what it is at the moment. It started off as being, you know, a very sustainable bar. We use a lot of things the kitchen has left over after cooking, and so that whole process gave birth really to that concept. And it was originally just a highball bar, so, you know, designed to be a little bit easier, more fun, playful, light highball style cocktails using, you know, recycled ingredients from the kitchen.
What can you recycle? Sorry for this very naive question, but I was wondering, what are you doing with old meat in a cocktail?
It's not so much meat or things like that, but definitely offcuts of vegetables, fruits, carrots, you know, zested limes, anything like that. We are able to, you know, process and turn into any number of things, cordials and things like that. We still keep this ethos in mind, but the program has certainly developed since then, and it all really stemmed from, well, basically in the restaurant team, we do a wine school every Friday evening. Okay. Half an hour wine school, and every Saturday we do a bar school.
And are you on teaching?
Yeah, usually. Okay. And in one of the wine schools, our head sommelier gave us a session on Riesling, different varieties of, well, Riesling from the same region but grown on different soil types. Okay. And it really, you know, astounded me because I'd had a small amount of wine training before, but nothing to this regularity or extent or depth. Yeah, some of these Rieslings blew my mind that you could have something from the same variety, the same grape, grown on a different soil, taste completely different. And this really stuck in my head. And then we kind of got the idea to try and incorporate that into our cocktails. So we contacted winemakers, which we had, you know, good relationships with due to the wine program, and asked them to send us a bunch of their soil, actually, and some studs.
And the soil compared, directly.
Yeah, so like, as you guys can't see this, but we have stones around.
Here.
We have quite a large variety of stones now, and we're trying to increase it ever more. And basically what we did and what we found and what we're continuing to discover and delve into is that we're able to rest and infuse our spirits, our base spirits, on these different stones, and it gives it, you know, a little bit, maybe slightly different structure. It'll knock off the top ester notes, it'll calm the spirit down. We've found with cognac resting on red slate, we've got all of these crazy chocolate notes happening.
When you say like base spirits, you're going to take the cognac, for example, you use the most in your cocktail, and try to let it sit together with a stone and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. We're always testing, and we're always trying to figure out what perfectly, you know, what spirit with what soil. We use a lot of clues from the wine world. You know, for example, like if you've got something grown on red slate, it typically has like slight more tropicality, a little bit more spiciness coming through. So if we try and relate that through to what we're doing with the resting process, a lot of the time they are similar results. Sometimes it just tastes a little bit rocky. You know, it really is a lot of testing and effort goes into it.
So does that mean that each of the stones that I can see here, they're all coming from a different place in Germany?
Yes. I mean, we get all of our slate at the moment from Clemens Busch, which is, you know, really, really cool. It's nice to be able to have that connection with serving wines from the producer, and then also have his stone that we're then infusing our spirits with, and then building the cocktail program on top of that. And you know, like, everybody can have a concept, and this is our concept, which provides us with a lot of inspiration and a lot
of tools.
For the
moment, yeah,
exactly.
Not like a forever concept. This is something you want to exploit and
dive into. I think
it's
very much a strong foundation that will be with this bar for its lifetime, I believe.
I mean, it's kind of cool anyway to be on store and do something.
Well, aside from that, we just try and make drinks that are delicious, because if people come into the bar, no matter what your concept is or how cool it is, if your drinks taste like shit, nobody's going to want to drink them. You know, it's as simple as that. So no matter what we're doing, it has to appeal to the everyday punter, somebody that just comes in and has no idea about what cocktails are. They need to be delicious, but yet we also need to have things that are tailored to the bar nerds or people that really enjoy cocktails and really want to search for a little bit more depth, you know, people that love drinking wine, people that like food pairing, real gastronomes.
But do you feel, because sometimes I have the impression that even people who are really foodie and really pay attention to wine, they sometimes like skip it all when, I mean, you think spirits.
Yeah.
And I'm sometimes very surprised to say, like, oh, I'm going to have like a gin tonic. I'm like, after everything you ate, I think you should go maybe more in that direction or not. So how come there is this like, this kind of strange gap between knowledge?
I'm not sure. I think it's potentially because classically cocktails can be quite heavy. The modern palate is certainly going in a lighter direction. People aren't, you know, there's definitely a time and a place for classic big boozy cocktails, vieux carrés, and everything that people want to drink in that direction. Like, I mean, I personally love drinking cocktails of this style, but it's also, it is quite heavy and you do get quite drunk, and the global trends.
I mean, you were thinking old fashioned or whiskey sour or something
exactly,
like this.
Exactly, yeah.
So here you will have this, but you also try to adapt to this idea of like lighter.
Definitely.
That would be like the influence of being together with a restaurant.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely influenced us quite a lot. And it's my personal style of enjoyment, you know, being able to have a couple more drinks that aren't so heavy on the palate or anything like that. We try to make things quite dry here. We don't have a lot of sweet kind of cocktails or anything like that. you know, you have to bear in mind that some people like sweet drinks, so you still have to make, you know, space for that. You need to cater to everybody, and we don't want to exclude anybody with what we do here either.
And when you say light, do you mean like light on the alcohol level, or you mean light on the sugar level? I mean, alcohol
is
sugar.
It can be everything.
To the point of removing alcohol? Because I'm saying this because I saw that the seed lip here. Yeah, and I was wondering if it's something that is also like one of the facets or one of the answers of what lighter can take.
It's become a huge point for us actually in the last 12 months. I mean, we had seed lip for quite some time, and you know, we used it to substitute out alcohol in our cocktails, and that's always a fun thing to do for people to drink. Non-alcoholic cocktails that look exactly like the beverage next to them that what their friends drinking, so they don't have to feel alienated or have like a weird looking fruit juice or something like that. So that's always been really cool, but it's expanded so much more than that. All of the tools that we have at our disposal now for non-alcoholic beverages is just crazy, and it's getting better and better and more fun, and we're really able to, you know, make things now that just as interesting as a glass of wine or a cocktail.
And what, for example, was missing before?
I think it was potentially even just the inspiration.
And you feel like now, for example, you have more books about it, more people.
There's more books, there's more focus, there's more ingredients. Mm. You know, people are so into kombuchas and water kefirs these days, and, you know, non-alcoholic spirits, and you've got the Acorn products that have just come out, vermouth, you're dry and you're bitter and everything like that. It's pretty crazy how much we actually have now, you know. So yeah, I feel like it was really more the inspiration and the actual tools at your disposal. When you delve into it a little bit, it's like falling down the rabbit hole, and you just discover more and more and more and more. So, you know, almost
That's
all of the cocktails
time.
In the restaurant we can make alcohol free. Half the cocktails in here we make alcohol free, or we just make completely separate drinks that are alcohol free. Because I'd have to say at the moment in the restaurant, for what's ordered behind the bar, it's almost 50-50 for non-alcoholic beverage versus alcoholic beverage.
That's a lot.
It's
Do
crazy.
You think it's linked to the fact that you have a restaurant next door and that people are thinking, oh, I already drunk, maybe I have to drive and blah, blah, blah? Are you saying this is more like
it's more of a trend? A lot of people are drinking less of a better quality and not as heavily anymore. Maybe they'll have, you know, a couple of non-alcoholic beverages and then finish on an alcoholic beverage for that evening.
Or the kick or something.
Yeah, you know, you never know how people are going to take it. Of course, there's still people that come in and just want to pound whiskey sours, and we're happy to accommodate them as well. But it's really cool to have this variety going on, you know, like, yeah, it's nice to be able to go to a restaurant and have some amazing food and bar snacks and have a great tasting beverage alongside it. That's not a Diet Coke or a soda or something.
Bad juice.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. See you in 2 weeks for the second part of this interview, in which we are going to discuss how the modern bar can become a multi-sensory place. See you in 2 weeks.